The golden age of radio is on the air. Morehead State Public Radio presents classic old-time radio programs from radio's golden age, the 1930s through the 1950s. On this program of the golden age of radio, an episode of the Mickey Mouse Theater of the Air featuring Snow White from 1938 and the ongoing adventures of Big John and Sparky. Stay tuned for the golden age of radio after today's news from NPR on WMKY at 90.3 FM. Welcome back to the Golden Age of Radio on WMKY at 90.3 FM. Later on today's show, the ongoing adventures of Big John and Sparky. Right now, the Mickey Mouse Theater of the Air featuring Snow White from 1938 as WMKY presents the Golden Age of Radio.
Company presents Mickey Mouse with Minnie, Donald Duck, and all the gang. It's Snow White Day on Mickey's show. This afternoon, Mickey Mouse and the Pepsodent Company bring you all the characters from Walt Disney's first feature-length triumph, Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs. And here's one of the hit tunes from the picture, played by Felix Mills and his orchestra, Whistle While You Work. With the first week of 1938 gone, dare I ask you how you're coming with your New Year's resolutions? Well, don't we all? But there's one resolution you really should keep, if only from the selfish motive that it's bound to repay you in dividends of joy and happiness. So just resolve right now that come what may, for the balance of the new year, you're going to brush your teeth twice each day with Pepsodent toothpaste containing Irium. Or, if you prefer powder, with Pepsodent tooth powder, also containing remarkable Irium. You'll be thrilled and delighted when you see how speedily Pepsodent containing Irium makes your smile far brighter, your teeth more naturally bright and sparkling than you perhaps ever thought they could be. And really, it's no trick, no secret. It's simply that Pepsodent alone contains that marvelous new cleansing agent known as Irium. And with the help of Irium, Pepsodent can easily and quickly brush away dingy surface stains, those same surface stains that actually hide the true beauty of your smile. With these masking surface stains gone, your teeth then glisten and gleam with all their glorious natural radiance. That, you see, is the miracle of Irium. Why not learn it for yourself? And And now here's the Disney gang and Mickey Mouse.
Hi, folks.
Hello, everybody.
Hey. Hey, where's Donald?
I was just coming to that. Special announcement. Donald Duck will not be on this program.
Oh, you mean that? Well, what happened?
John locked him in the attic.
Locked him in the attic?
That's right, Minnie. I figured he was a menace to the program. Last week, he butted in on everybody, lost his temper, and really...
Boy, I'd like to see him now.
Don't worry, you won't see him this afternoon.
Oh gosh, I almost forgot. Here's a telegram for you, Mickey.
Oh, thanks.
What does the message say, Mickey?
My dear, vast, impatient public, dry your eyes and keep your shirts on. I'll be with you any minute now. Signed, D. Duck.
Ooh, but Mickey, how could he?
Don't worry, Minnie. I guarantee that Donald Duck will positively not appear on this broadcast.
P.S. That's what you think.
Well, how are you going to do it, John?
I'll show you how. Hey, Butch.
Come on, boss.
Oh, boy, look at those tough mugs.
Yeah. What do you want, boss?
You've locked the doors?
Yeah, and guarding them.
And the windows are barred?
Yeah, and what's more, out in the hall, we've got a couple of duck blinds.
Okay, well, get back to your posts. If that duck shows up here this afternoon, I'll crush him with my bare hands.
What's the matter, John? Having duck trouble?
Plenty. Oh, hello, Walt. Ladies and gentlemen, Walt Disney.
I thought you'd remove the duck from the program.
Well, I still think so. You see, Walt, radio just doesn't seem to be Donald's medium. In the first place, you can't understand a word he says, and
yeah, and if you could, you'd have to throw him off the program.
Say, by the way, Walt, you haven't forgotten, have you, that today's the day you promised to introduce all the characters from Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs?
Right you are, John. Hey, Goofy.
Yeah?
Bring on the mirror.
You want your brush and comb, too?
Oh, Goofy. The magic mirror, the one from Snow White.
Okay, Walt.
Here comes. Bring the mirror.
Here there you are. Yeah, there we are. The mirror that knows all and sees all. Last week, it took us back into the past. But this week, we'll have it bring the past up to us. Okay, Mickey, call on the magic spirit.
Slave in the magic mirror, come from the farther space. On wind and flame, I summon thee. Speak, reveal thy face, and make it snappy.
I hear. I come. What seekest thou of me today? Command me, master, I shall obey.
Okay. O wondrous magic mirror, bid Snow White and her prince appear.
Hey, gang, I want you all to meet the little princess, Snow White.
Isn't she beautiful? Thank you. And how do you do, Mr. Disney?
Hello, Snow White. I hope we didn't disturb you.
Oh, no. When the mirror called me, I was thinking about the day long ago when I was scrubbing the palace courtyard dressed in rags.
Well, that's great, because the reason I had the mirror bring you here was to have you sing exactly as you did that day.
The Wishing Well song.
That's the one. And when you finish, the mirror will bring in the prince. And when you run back up into the castle, the prince will sing to you, just as he did in the picture.
Oh, Mr. Disney, I'd love it.
All right, princess. Now you've gone over to the well to get another bucket of water. The birds gather around to watch, and you talk to them.
Want to know a secret? Promise not to tell. We are standing by a wishing well. Make a wish into the well, that's all you have to do. And if you hear it echoing, your wish will soon come true. I'm wishing. I'm hoping, and I'm dreaming of.
Don't be frightened. Please don't run away. Now that I've found you, hear what I have to say. One song, I have but one song. One song only for you. One heart tenderly beating, ever entreating, constant and true. Possess me one love thrilling me through. One song my heart keeps singing of one love only for you.
That was swell. What happened then?
Well, Mickey, the wicked queen was very jealous of Snow White, so she sent the huntsman into the woods to kill her.
Gosh, Walt, did he?
No, he just couldn't do it. He told her to run and hide, so she ran through the woods, terrified, and finally fell to the ground, sobbing. And all the little woods animals, the birds and the squirrels and the rabbits and deer, gathered round her and cheered her up. And she sang this song.
With a smile and a song, life is just like a bright sunny day. Your cares fade away and your heart is young. With a smile and a song, all the world seems to waken anew, rejoicing with you as the song is sung. There's no use grumbling when raindrops come tumbling. Remember, you're the one who can fill my heart with sunshine. When you smile and you sing, everything is in tune, and it's spring and life flows along with a smile and a song.
Hey, Mickey, you know how to get her here.
Magic mirror, do your stuff. Bring on the queen and make her tough.
It's the wicked queen.
Oh.
Run, Snow White, hide.
Apples, ripe, red, juicy apples. Who will buy my poisoned apples? Hello, Disney. Have a bite?
No, thanks. Say, what's this I see sticking out from under all those apples in your basket?
Ooh, looks like a tuft of tail feathers.
That would seem to be a stowaway. My mistake. I think I shall have a bite.
Hello, Donald. Imagine meeting you here.
Why, it's not an apple at all. It's a darling little duxy-wuxy.
Hey, Walt, how about bringing the dwarfs on now?
Don't ask me, Mickey. Ask the magic mirror.
Okay. From the cottage in the glen, please bring the seven little men.
Yeah, they all have long white beards except Dopey.
Yeah, I see him. He's on the step, Walt.
Always.
What makes their noses so red?
Technicolor.
Wow. What a snozola on old Sourpuss over there.
That's Grumpy.
They're taller than I expected.
Yeah, waist high.
Well, what do they do with those picks and shovels?
They dig. Gold, precious stones. Seven jewel hills are solid.
We're in the wrong racket.
Say, when they see all these people out there, they'll run like scared rabbits. Watch.
Hi-ho, is home from where we go.
Hey, look, people. Whoa, get for cover, man. Hey, wait, they won't hurt you. Come back. Hold them, John. Okay. Don't let them get away. Atta boy, Goofy.
Now, listen now. There, Doc. Take it easy.
Why, it's Wister Misner. It's Disty Wisner. It's Whistler's mother.
Why?
Hello, Walt.
Now, listen, Doc. These people won't hurt you. They're friends of yours.
They are?
Don't be a fool, Doc. There's women out there.
That's all right, Grumpy. There's nothing wrong with women.
There ain't, huh? Well, women is females. And where there's females, there's trouble.
Hey, Walt, here's one I found under the piano.
Why, hello, Bashful. Hello, Mr. Disney.
Oh, God.
Come here, Minnie. I want you to meet some of the dwarfs.
Oh, I'd love to.
Now, this is Doc. He's sort of the leader.
Huh? I'm awfully glad to meet you.
You hear that, Ham? Ma'am? She's mad to you? She's bad to I'm delighted, ma'am.
Yeah, mush.
Ooh, I'll bet you're grumpy.
Here's a couple more, Walt. They were hiding behind the bass drum.
Thanks, John. Hello, Happy.
Hello, Mr. Disney.
Hello, Sleepy. What were you doing behind the bass drum?
It was the quietest place I could find.
Minnie, this is Sneezy. I'll be ready to duck.
How do you do?
Pleased to meet you. I'm
Happy Snow. Get hold of him.
Thanks.
It's a fine time you picked a sneeze.
Well, I didn't mean to. I can't help it. When I got her, I got her.
I know this one.
Yeah, that's Dopey. He don't talk none.
You mean he can't talk?
He don't know. He never tried.
Hey, fellas, how about, how about some singing and dancing?
Oh, come on, Hen. Man, get out your instruments.
Instruments? They're home, you ninny.
Walt, the magic mirror.
Right, Mickey.
Hey, magic mirror.
I hear.
Take us to the seven men, to the cottage of the seven little men.
Aye, Master, it shall be. Through the mirror, follow me.
Okay, gang, come on.
There it is, gang, the dwarf's cottage.
Oh, it looks like a doll's house.
Low bridge, gang. This door isn't shoulder high.
Here, let me. I'll leave you.
Shut up and open the door.
Oh, it's dark inside.
Careful now. Careful. Don't dump your bed. Bump your head. Look her.
Light the candle.
Okay. I got it.
Oh, Mickey.
Look, Minnie, seven of everything.
Even seven little chairs.
Yeah, seven chairs and 50 of us.
Sit down, everybody. Mind your manners. Get up and give our cast a place to sit.
Yeah, I knew it.
Come on, man. Get your instrument.
Yeah, stand aside there. Stand aside. Get out to where.
Okay, Grumpy. All right, everybody. Now, here's the dwarf band. With Grumpy playing the pipe organ, Sleepy tootling the fish horn, Dopey beating the drums, Bashful blowing on the jugs and bottles, and what do you call that thing of yours?
It's easy. Called a sniffle snuff. You snuff in here and sniff out there.
Well, how about it? All set, Doc?
All right, man. One through T, one T through play.
I used to dance and tap my feet, but they won't keep in rhythm. You see, I washed them both today, and I can't do nothing with them.
All along the chimney stem, the words don't mean a thing. Isn't this a silly song for anyone to sing?
Oh, gosh. Chased a polecat up a tree way out up on a limb. And when he got the best of me, I got the worst of him.
When I was born so long ago, I felt so high and mighty. I tied my whiskers round my legs, and I used them for a duck. For a 90.
All along the chimney stem, the words don't mean a thing. Isn't this a silly song for anyone to sing?
La, 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 la.
Hey, look, he blew Dopey clean up on the rafters.
Oh, that was fun.
Now, why don't you do something, Princess?
Yeah, oh, sing us a song.
A love song?
Yeah.
A love song. How about Someday My Prince Will Come?
Why not make sure that 1938 is a banner year for you, full of good times, fun, and romance? Start right now to use either Pepsodent toothpaste or powder containing Irium and see what a big difference a naturally radiant smile may make in your life. For thanks to the miracle of Irium, Pepsodent can make your teeth shine and sparkle with such a glorious natural luster that your whole smile seems actually gayer, more dazzling, and your whole personality seems to sparkle with a new appeal. Yes, this new thrill can be yours in the year ahead if you'll only change over right now to Pepsodent containing Irium. And remember, Pepsodent with Irium works safely because it contains no bleach, no grit, no pumice. And here's a special word to boys and girls. Pepsodent with Irium tastes well. You're bound to go for its keen, tingling taste. Ask Mother to order either Pepsodent toothpaste or powder today. Both contain Irium. Say, thanks a lot, Walt and Mickey, for bringing Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs here this afternoon.
Oh, don't mention it, John. But say, how about relenting a little bit and letting Donald Duck and his Webfoot sextet come on the program next week?
Webfoot sextet?
Yes, sir. Six of the hottest ducks you've ever heard.
Well, you mean that mess will do all the playing?
Oh, no. We'll have Felix Mills and his orchestra here, you know, just in case.
Well, okay, Walt, but I'm agin' it. Just the same, thanks for this program anyway.
So long, John. Goodbye, folks.
Tune in again next Sunday at this same time when the Pepsodent Company will again present Mickey Mouse and all the Disney gang. This program has come to you from the Disney Little Theater on the RKO lot. John Heaston speaking. This is...
National Broadcasting Company.
That's right, Donald. This is the National Broadcasting Company.
You are listening to the Golden Age of Radio on WMKY, a program of the Mickey Mouse Theater of the Air featuring Snow White from 1938. Stay tuned for more classic old-time radio from the 1930s through the 1950s. When the Golden Age of Radio continues on Morehead State Public Radio, WMKY at 90.3 FM. Welcome back to the Golden Age of Radio on WMKY at 90.3 FM. Right now, the ongoing adventures of Big John and Sparky as WMKY presents the Golden Age of Radio.
I never thought I would see the day when Sparky would be hesitant to talk on the telephone because that's one of his favorite pastimes. But I did see the day. There was rebellion in the ranks. Yes, Sparky was having trouble with the members of his baseball club who couldn't make up their minds what they wanted to do about new uniforms. They kept calling Sparky all day long, and he got to the point where he didn't want to answer the phone. Come join us now for today's chapter. Let's move into the living room of Big John's house, all the way up the next block.
Well, lad, telephone's ringing again.
Well, boy, I'm not going to answer it. No, siree, not me. I know exactly what it is. It's one of the guys in my club calling up to tell me that they're going to resign from the club.
Well, somebody has to answer the telephone. We can't just sit here and let it ring like that.
Well, I'm not going to answer it.
Well, don't look at me. I don't live here. I'm not answering it.
Well, neither am I. After all, you know as well as I do that that call is for Sparky.
Well, maybe it isn't.
Might be for you, Buster. You never can tell.
Well, the chances are 100 to 1 it's for Sparky. Oh, me. Well, I guess I may as well get out of this chair and answer it. Now, this is for you, Sparky. I'm not going to fib and say that you're not... Hey, did the phone stop ringing?
Looks that way, Buster.
Oh, me, just when I get up out of my chair, get up for nothing. Oh, well. Hey, I wonder if that call was for me. Wonder who it was.
Well, that, Buster, is something you'll never know, unless whoever it was calls again.
Maybe it was an important call.
Well, Big John, you should have answered it right away.
Well, Sparky, with all the calls you've been getting around here today from the kids in your club, I thought sure it was for you. How did I know it was for me?
Well, you still don't know for sure.
That phone rings again, young man. You're going to answer it. And you're going to answer it quick, you understand?
Okay. Well, there it goes again. There it goes. Telephone's ringing. What do we do now?
Answer it. That's what we do now. Go ahead. Answer it.
Oh, me. Okay.
It's probably the same person who called just a moment ago.
Yeah, no doubt.
Hello? Hello, Smiling Sam. Huh? Oh, you're not smiling today, huh? Why not?
Smiling Sam Bishop, Mayor. I knew that phone call was for Sparky.
You're mad at Cyril and Maxie because they won't give Charlie the money out of our club's treasury to buy new uniforms for the baseball team, huh?
Same old thing.
Yeah.
You say you're all in favor of the team getting new uniforms? Well, you see, Smiling Sam, it's like this. Maxie and Cyril aren't against our team getting new uniforms. It's just that they don't want to spend the money for them.
I tell you, Buster, I love the kids in this here town. Ain't nothing I wouldn't do for them. Nothing's too good for them. I'd give them the shirt off my back.
Well,
I certainly would.
He wants to get new uniforms for the team, but he thinks that he can swing a deal.
Yeah,
I mean, where
right.
He can get the uniforms for nothing. No, Sam. No. I'm not on Maxie's side. I'm not on anybody. You what, Sam? Now, wait a minute, Smiling Sam. But, Sam. Sam, just a sec. Smiling Sam Bishop hung up on me. He's mad. He wants new uniforms for the team, and he thinks I'm on Maxie's side. And he says unless the team gets new uniforms, he's resigning from the club.
Oh, you have your troubles, don't you?
Yeah, boy, I sure am. I tell you, it's just no fun being the exalted high llama of the purple and white garter in our club. No, there it goes again. Oh.
Oh, boy.
Well, I guess you want me to answer it again, huh, big
yes,
guy?
Yes, I want you to answer it again.
Oh. Well, okay. Hello. Oh, hello, Oswald. What do you want?
Oswald Hassenpfeffer. Now, there's a boy who very seldom calls Sparky on the phone. This must be important.
I tell you, these kids are priceless. I love every one of them. There's not a thing in the world that I wouldn't do for any one of them.
Yes, I'm in favor of the team getting new baseball uniforms. If Charlie wants
sure
to spend the money to get him, it's okay with me.
I'd give these kids the shirt off my back.
Now, wait a minute, Oswald. Look, I agree with you. If Maxie can swing a deal...
That's wonderful.
But, Oswald, I'm not on Charlie's side. I'm not on... Oswald? Oz? Are you there, Oswald? Oh, me. Now he's mad. Oswald Hassenpfeffer thinks that I'm on Charlie Klammerding's side, and he said that if we don't give Maxie a chance to swing a deal for the uniforms, he's going to resign from the club.
Well, you certainly seem to be getting it from both sides, huh?
Boy, you're telling me. No matter what I say, they get mad at me.
Well, lad, the next time one of the kids calls you up, why don't you play it smart? Don't give him any opinion at all. Just agree with everything he says.
Hey, that's a good idea. Yeah. That's what I'll do, Mayor.
Sure. Just don't say anything that'll give whoever you're calling any reason to get mad. That's the way us politicians do, lad.
Yeah, okay. That's the best idea yet. Yeah. Oh, there's the telephone again. Okay, now listen to this.
Just love to help out the kids, Buster. Ain't nothing in the world I wouldn't do for them. Nothing at all.
Yeah, I know.
Oh, hello, Rabbit Ears. How are you, R.E., old boy?
Rabbit Ears, McEaster, Mayor.
Yeah.
Yes, Rabbit Ears, I have heard that Charlie wants to take money out of our club treasury to buy new uniforms for our baseball team.
Lad's playing it smart now, Buster. Notice he's not expressing any opinion. That's the mark of a true
policy. Yes, Revere, I have also heard that Maxie is not in favor of spending the money, that he wants to swing a deal to get the uniforms for nothing.
I don't see how he can get in trouble talking like that.
No.
How do I feel about it, Rabbit Ears?
Oh, this could get the lad in trouble, Buster.
Do I agree with you, R.E.?
Yeah, this one could,
well,
too.
Well, you see, R.E., huh? No, Rabbit Ears, no, I'm not beating around the bush. No, you see, the way I feel, what, R.E.?
Doesn't sound like Rabbit Ears is going to give the lad a chance to talk.
Well, as long as Sparky lets Rabbit Ears do all the talking, I don't see how Sparky can get in any trouble.
Well, Rabbit Ears, the way I feel about it is, let the best man win.
Bravo! Excellent answer. Good.
Yeah, that's
all
right.
Look, wait a minute, R.E., old boy. Listen, all I said was...
Yes, sir, he's coming right along.
Yes, Rabbit Ears.
You have to run for council in these days.
But Rabbit Ears... That didn't work out so hot.
What happened?
What happened? Rabbit Ears hung up on me. He says, if I'm the kind of exalted high llama who's afraid to grab a bull by the horns and settle a dispute, I'm not suited to be the exalted high llama.
Oh, my.
He says he doesn't want to belong to any club that has an exalted high llama who won't express an opinion. He resigned. Boy, what a mess.
Well, Mayor, what would a politician do in a case like this?
Why, he'd just up and start reminding the voters of the campaign promises that his opposition hasn't kept.
There isn't any opposition here because there weren't any campaign promises involved.
Well, what's the difference as long as you can change the subject? You got to deny saying anything you said, no matter what it was, you see.
Well, look, all this talk isn't solving my problem. Half the guys in my club want to take money out of the treasury to buy new uniforms, and the other half doesn't want to spend the money. But they all agree that our team needs new uniforms. And now everybody's resigning from the club because nobody is willing to do what anybody else wants to do.
Well, lad, if there's anything your old mayor can do to clear up this here mess for you, you know I'll be more than glad to help out. It's just like I always have said. I love the children of this here grand and glorious town of ours, and I'd be glad to do anything.
Well, there is something you can do for us, Mayor.
Like I've always been saying all along, there ain't nothing too good for the children of this here town.
Hey, I'm glad you feel that way, Mayor, because there is something you can do.
Why, I'd do anything for the kids in our town. Give them the shirt off my back if they wanted it. Yes, indeed.
Well, Mayor, how about you sponsoring our baseball team
there
and buying us new baseball uniforms?
Nothing too good for the kids in this here... What'd you say, lad?
I said, how about you sponsoring our baseball team and buying us all new baseball uniforms?
Sponsor your baseball team. New uniforms... You mean buy them for you?
Well, what's the matter, Mayor? How would a politician get out of a situation like this?
Well, you see, lad, it's this way. I mean, you see,
But, Mayor, you said there wasn't anything you wouldn't do for us kids.
Oh, me. Buster, what a mess I done went and got myself into. Oh, boy, oh, boy, oh, boy, oh, boy.
Looks like I've got a real problem on my hands now. Here it is almost baseball season, and our baseball team needs new uniforms. We can't play in the league without baseball uniforms. All the rest of the teams have got uniforms, and we don't. We got the money to spend, but half the guys in the club don't want to spend the money. The other half does want to spend it. No matter what happens, half the club is going to resign, and then we won't have a team. Well, I guess we couldn't expect the mayor to buy our uniforms, but I just couldn't resist putting him on the spot like that, because he looks so funny when he sputters like he did. Well, kids, I've got to get busy. I've got to figure out a way out of this mess so everybody's happy. I'll see you later. So long.
If dandruff dulls your hair, leaves your scalp itchy, please listen. You can get rid of annoying dandruff so fast today, no one should suffer any longer. With Fitch Dandruff Remover Shampoo, unsightly dandruff's gone in 3 minutes. It's the quickest, easiest of all leading shampoos. Besides that, using Fitch regularly is guaranteed to keep embarrassing dandruff away. Simply apply in the unique Fitch manner. Before you wet hair, rub in 1 minute. This way, Fitch shampoo penetrates right down to the scalp. Next, add water. Lather 1 minute to wash every trace of dandruff out of your hair. Then rinse 1 minute. all that loosened dandruff goes down the drain. In 3 minutes, with Fitch, one rubbing, one lathering, one rinsing, dandruff's gone. And while removing dandruff, Fitch can also brighten hair up to 35%. To get rid of dandruff problems forever, brighten hair too. Use Fitch regularly. Get Fitch Dandruff Remover Shampoo today. Only 59 cents.
Well, Sparky was getting rather edgy, as I recall. Edgy because he had not yet received the tickets that Yuki promised to send him. You see, our friend Yuki Butcher had made a trip to Florida and got a tryout with the Cincinnati Reds baseball team, and it looks like he's going to make the team. At least he promised Sparky that he would send us tickets to the opening day. Well, here it is Thursday. Opening day game is next Monday, and that's plenty of time for the tickets still to get here, but Sparky's a little excited about it. Meantime, I have plans of my own, so come join us in the little house all the way up the next block.
Hey, what are you putting your sweater on for, Big John? How come you got your old hat on? What for? I mean, are you going fishing?
Fishing? Now, what in the world makes you think I'm going fishing?
Well, that's when you wear that hat. Every time you go fishing, you wear that old hat. Aren't you going fishing?
No, I'm just going out in the backyard working the garden.
Oh. Hey, can I help you?
Sure. How come you want to work in the garden, though? You never want to do anything like that before.
Oh, I don't know. I just want to get my mind off those baseball tickets Yuki said he was going to send us.
Oh, Sparky, for goodness sakes, will you forget about those tickets? They'll get here sooner or later.
Well, it better be sooner, because if they get here later, we won't be able to go to see the Cincinnati Reds' first game of the season.
Well, just stop worrying. They'll get here. Thank goodness it's only Thursday. The opening day isn't until Monday.
Well, I just wish they'd get here so I'd know for sure that we're going to get to see the opening game.
Well, maybe if you'd stop thinking about it, the mailman would deliver the tickets. Anyway, I'm going outside and work on those rose bushes out in the front of the house.
Oh, I'm coming along with you, Big John. Where do I get my little shovel and garden tools?
Okay, well, look, you better put on your sweater, too. Go get your sweater, and I'll be outside a while, okay?
Well, here I am, Big John. Are you working on your rose bushes yet? Hey. Hey, Big John, where are you?
I'm over here, Sparky, over on the other side of the house. Over here in the Boskins driveway.
Oh, I see you.
That's all right. I'm just coming around here anyway. Well, you all ready to go to... Hey, what in the world's the idea of that?
What in the world's the idea of what?
Well, what you have in your hands. I don't know how you expect to work in the garden with me with those two baseball gloves and that ball.
Oh, I changed my mind about working in the garden with you.
I kind of figured you would. Well, what's the idea of the baseball gloves and the ball? Are you going up to the Cheviot Fieldhouse ball ground, play a little baseball, are you?
No. I'm going to stay right here. I thought maybe you'd like to just toss a few.
Well, I told you I wanted to work in my garden, Sparky.
Oh, now, Big John, come on. You can take out a little time and have a little game of toss. Here's a glove, Big John. Come on, move back a little bit. We'll toss a few.
Well, okay, but just a few minutes, because I do want to get some work done here in the garden today now. You understand that? Just a few minutes.
Okay. Here it comes. Catch.
Hey, ouch. Not so fast. That stings. Where are you getting all that power there?
Big John, I didn't throw that one very hard. Come on, groove one down the old alley. Come on, Big John. Put it right in there, boy.
All right. You asked for it. Here comes the windup, and here's the pitch, and here it comes.
Hey. Is that all the harder you can throw that ball? Man, I caught that with one hand.
Well, look, just because you can catch a ball with one hand, that doesn't mean you're a good ball player. If you'll notice, the good big leaguers like Stan Musial or Mickey Mantle or Roy McMillan, any of those good stars, they all use two hands when they catch the ball.
Nah, not when it's a real easy one.
Yeah, but all the time, Sparky, you can catch a ball much better when you use both hands. I'll throw the ball here, and I'll show you the proper way to catch it. Come on, get it up here.
Okay, here comes my curveball. Now, listen, watch this. It's going to be tricky. Here it comes.
Whoops. Oh, I sort of dropped it there. What's the matter with these gloves? You got some kind of a grease in this glove or something, haven't you, Sparky? What are you doing, pitching
a curveball? Well, now, don't go blaming it on the glove, Big John.
You just plain ordinary everyday muffed that one.
I did not. Just plain ordinary everyday slipped out of my glove. And you had a bad throw on top of that. It was low and on the outside. Man, I had a stretch way out to even touch there.
Aw, oh, Big John. Look, what's the matter with you? That was right down the middle.
Right down the middle? Boy, I'd sure like to know what you would consider a wild throw. Look, I'll throw you one just like you just threw to me, and let's see if you can catch it. Here. Come on, catch this one. Here.
That's going way over my head, but I'll get it. Got it. Hey, did you see me snag that one, Big John? Jumped up in the air, stuck out my glove, and snagged it.
pure luck. Anybody can make a catch like that just being plain lucky, and that's what you were, just plain lucky.
What's the matter, Big John? Can't you catch the little ball? Here, Big John, I'll throw you a nice, itsy-bitsy little pop fly. Underhand. Catch it.
All right, wise guy. Don't try to act smart. You think I can't catch that simple little fly ball just one...
What's the matter, Big John? The ball's laying on the ground right next to you. How'd you fall? Did you step on your own foot?
I did not. The sun got in my eyes. I lost my balance and stumbled, that's all. Now, if I had on eyeglasses like the big league outfielders wear, I'd have caught that ball. It's the sun that got in my eyes. Just blinded me.
I don't know how that's possible. The sun's behind you.
Huh? Oh. While it was the reflection of the sun on the side windows of Mrs. Two Hills' house. Okay, Sparky, now catch this one. I'll throw you a curveball. Gonna make this curveball, just want you to watch this now. Gonna make this curveball drop in toward the batter, see? If he's right-handed, that is. Okay? Here it comes.
What was that supposed to do?
Well, it curved, and then it dropped down to your left. Didn't you see it?
Ah, Big John, it came at me straight as a wash line. That ball didn't curve.
It didn't? Well, I guess I'm a little out of practice. It's been quite a while since I pitched for the old Miller Drugstore Wildcats. Okay, throw it back here, Sparky.
Well, howdy, fellas. Getting ready for the baseball season, are you there? Hi, Sparky.
Oh, hi, Mayor. Hey, I didn't see you coming up the street.
Yeah, hi, Mayor. I didn't see you either.
Here, give me that glove there, lad, and let me show Buster how to throw some fancy outshoots and inshoots and curves and stuff like that there. I'll show you how
it's done. Sure, Mayor, here you are.
Yeah.
Big John was trying to show me the kind of curves he throws. The balls he threw sure didn't curve.
Well, yeah, you just take a look at this, lad. Okay, Buster, you set over there?
Yeah, ready to take anything you got.
All right, well, get ready for an in-shoot and out-shoot.
Right.
Now watch me now, lad, the way I wind up. You see, the trick is to kick your foot way up in the air like this. Oh, what happened? Who pulled my feet out from under me like that? Oh, my aching back. Oh.
You sort of fell down when you tried to kick your foot high in the air like that.
Oh, where did I get up on my feet? Now, I'll show you how I pitched when I was in the big leagues. I didn't throw none of them there fancy curves and stuff because when I was playing professional ball, I just depended on my pinpoint control and overpowering speed. My aching back. All right, get ready, Big John. Watch this. Here she comes. There you are. Did you ever see a more... blind and speedy fastball, lad. Hardly seen that ball, I bet, did you, lad? Went really tearing down there.
Pretty fast to me, Mayor.
In, huh?
Why, Maxie Finster, when he pitches on our team, he can throw a ball a lot faster than that.
Oh, is that so? Well, lad, my speed is deceiving. See, that ball traveled faster than you think. I'd make them travel so fast they just look like they're going slow. That's what's deceiving about them. I tell you what, you pick up your bat there, lad, and go on down by Big John. And let me pitch a few to you, and we'll see how you can do batting here.
You don't want me to swing at them, do you?
Sure, I want you to swing, of course. Just swing whenever I pitch to you. I just belt into
here?
It.
In our front yard? You kidding? Why, there are houses with windows all around here.
Don't worry, you're not going to hit any houses, lad. You're not even going to see the fall when I fire it past you. Wait till I back up here a little bit. Get behind him there, Big John. Hope you got lots of padding in your glove. I'll probably sting your right hand off. Yeah. Okay. I'm all set, Mayor. Fire away. All right. Here she comes. What's the matter, lad? Why don't you swing? Couldn't you see the ball? What do you think of them apples, lad? It's a good fastball, isn't it?
Oh, Mayor, that ball was hardly moving when it came in here. Well, the reason I didn't swing was because I was afraid I'd knock it right through the front of Big John's house.
Oh, is that so? Well, here, we'll try another one. Now, swing at this one, lad. You won't even come near it. You'll miss it by 50 miles. Come on, now, don't forget, swing. Here she comes.
Okay, Mayor, you asked for it.
Uh-oh.
Well, there's the first broken window of the baseball season, and it's right in front of Mrs. Two Hill's house. Boy, oh, boy, oh, boy, oh, boy.
Well, I guess I should have stuck to my gardening, which is what I wanted to do in the first place. Had to show off, had to play baseball, and of course the mayor getting in the act didn't help any either. Well, I see there's no one hurt at the Two Hill house. Mrs. Two Hill is looking out through her broken window, and she's motioning for me, so I'll go in my house and get my checkbook and pay her a little visit. Oh, boy. I'll see you later, kids.
The Golden Age of Radio on WMKY and the ongoing adventures of Big John and Sparky. This has been the Golden Age of Radio, classic old-time radio programs from the 1930s through the 1950s. Material for this program provided by the Internet Archive, an online nonprofit library of books, movies, music, and old-time radio shows, on the web at archive.org. Tune in again for the Golden Age of Radio next week at the same time and channel on WMKY at 90.3 FM and online at wmky.org.